Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. Today we're connecting to one Native musician that has taken his music to great heights, including going platinum. R. Carlos Nakai from the Navajo and Ute Nations is here with us to share some of his colorful music. Here's one of his songs off of his album, Canyon Trilogy. There's more ahead on our January Music Maker Edition with R. Carlos Nakai, right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Washington State's Ecology Department is taking public comment on proposed water quality standards for toxics, including an updated fish consumption rate. Tribes and conservation groups have concerns. Chris Thomas with Washington News Service reports.
The new standards are based on higher fish consumption rates that are more realistic than the old standards, but that's the only point all sides seem to agree on. Conservation groups and tribes say the Ecology Department has made other calculations that overall don't add up to cleaner water. Chris Wilkie with Puget Sound Keeper says that's a problem when there are health warnings about eating locally caught bass and Chinook from some waterways.
And this is going to result in basically no change to discharge standards. So even though the fish consumption rate is going up 27 times, the discharge limits into the environment are not changing at all. And this is very concerning to us.
In addition to the proposed standards, Governor Inslee is asking the legislature to limit certain types of chemicals used in industry. Wilkie thinks it's a good start, but says the state is sidestepping setting tougher standards for water treatment and what can be discharged into waterways. The EPA is also watching the process and says it could propose federal regulations. One aspect of the new state standards that's been especially controversial is a change in the estimated cancer rate from eating Washington fish. It's jumped from 1 in 1 million to 1 in 100,000. That has so concerned Native American tribes that they're opposing the new standards, says Jim Peters of the Squaxin Island Tribal Council.
We still have a lot of the cancer toxins out there that are going to be either status quo or in some cases even less protective. And so we couldn't deal with that. We couldn't go back to our tribal community and say that was acceptable.
In addition to public health reasons, Peters points out the tribal fishing industry has economic reasons to ensure that its catch isn't contaminated.
That was Chris Thomas reporting. A Native American woman is chosen as Wisconsin's poet laureate for the next 2 years. As Chuck Kornbach of Wisconsin Public Radio reports, her Native background is vital to her work.
Kimberly Blazer is an English professor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. She says her early years at the White Earth Reservation influenced her perspective of the world and her poetry.
Because a lot of my work deals with the natural world, it does tap into mythic stories from the Anishinaabe people and the kind of sort of spiritual understanding of even language itself.
Blazer reads from one of her poems about harvesting wild rice.
Ricing moon, when polling arms groan like autumn winds through white pine, old rhythms find the hands, bend and pound the rice, rice kernels falling onto wooden ribs, canoe bottoms filling with memories.
Now Blazer hopes to make poetry memorable for more people. She's been chosen as Wisconsin's next poet laureate, a position that doesn't pay much, but will involve traveling the state as a poetry ambassador. Blazer says poetry has a job to do.
Audre Lorde said poetry is not a luxury. And I think poetry is important in helping us balance our self in the world. It has a, you know, spiritual role to play. It can serve us in many ways.
Blazer says some people are uncomfortable hearing or reading poetry, but she says her goal for the next 2 years is to allow more people in Wisconsin to get close to the art by bringing poetry into more public spaces. For National Native News, I'm Chuck Kornbach.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the American Indian Higher Education Consortium, March 14th to the 18th. Information on convention services at ahcnm.org.
When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support National Native News. Just use Pick, Click, Give, and select KNBA-FM Kawanak Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood. Native recording artist R. Carlos Nakai has shared his captivating sounds with the world for decades, including the beauty of the native flute. And his music has also connected listeners to Native American culture and tradition. And this month, we are lending an ear to a special reissue of his number one selling album, Canyon Trilogy, a deluxe platinum edition, which includes never released tracks. And we are inviting you to join us today by calling in as we visit with R. Carlos Nakai, our January music maker. And the number to call in is 1-800-996-2848. And as you take in his sounds, we also want to tell you his music can be yours too. Today we are giving away 10 CDs to the first 10 callers to make it on air today. So if you like what you're hearing, definitely call us early, and we'll try our best to get you in there. And you'll be receiving a copy of Canyon Trilogy if you're one of the first 10 callers, courtesy of Canyon Records. Let's go ahead and bring in our guests. We have award-winning Native artist R. Carlos Nakai on the line with us today from Tucson, Arizona. Welcome back to Native America Calling, R.C.
Yes, thank you. It's good to be here.
And R.C., this is an exciting time, just kind of being able to kind of reimagine, you know, this album, and it's got some brand new tracks on it. And just want to hear how special this album, Canyon Trilogy, is to you and the music that you've been sharing over the years.
Well, the recording, when I began the project in 1988, I guess was faced with a lot of controversy within Canyon Records because it was almost an extreme departure from what they were used to hearing in regard to traditional American Indian music. And I said, well, you know, culture keeps up with itself and with changes and influence that surround it. So what I'm finding with this recording that I just finished is that these are new influences that expand the capabilities of the instruments that I'm working with that come primarily from the plains and woodlands cultures of North America. But after a time, they relented, and Robert Doyle and I worked together to put it into a kind of format that demonstrated, I would say, its connection to tradition as it was in the old time, and then how we are today in the modern world.
So you're really, really kind of stretching, we're stretching things when this kind of first came on the scene. And tell us exactly, you know, technically, what kind of sounds we're hearing by adding this type of technology?
Well, you know, before, let's say, the modern era, there were people like William Horncloud and let's say maybe Tom Mochatiwere and Doc Tate Nevakoya and other traditional flutists who were, you know, put onto, let's say, Indian reservations and reserves here and there in the country. But as much as many of us remembered about what it used to be like in the old days, the music and the information of the culture and the histories of that time came and are still with us even today. So what I wanted to demonstrate was we're now faced with new challenges and new experiences that will define us into the future. And listening to much of the tradition and much of the things that were going on at this moment when we were dealing with past thought, and that was in the mid-70s through the mid-80s, I thought, I need to really do something that will demonstrate how I'm going to attempt to keep up with change and the influences of the music as it surrounds us and how I can include that in the flute music that I do to demonstrate that, you know, we don't have to continually deal in being in the past, but we can actually move into the future. And so, you know, I've been doing that ever since.
Well, we're going to go ahead and give them a sample of this. This is going to be one of the original releases. This is Dawn's Mirage, a song for the Morning Star off of R. Carlos Nakai's album, Canyon Trilogy. It's what we're featuring here today. And also want to remind you, it is our music maker. We're sharing some of the music with you over the airwaves. And first 10 callers to make it on air will also receive a complimentary copy of the album, courtesy of Canyon Records. Let's go ahead and jump into this music here. Here is R. Carlos Nakai.
Thank you.
And that was Don's Mirage, song for the Morning Star, off of the album Canyon Trilogy by Mr. R. Carlos Nakai. And he's on the line with us today. If you'd like to tell him about that song you just heard and how it moved you, you can call in right now, 1-800-996-2848. The calls are coming in. Let's go ahead and check in with Native America. On the line with us today, we're bringing in a caller. We have Jennifer on the line in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. And Jennifer, what do you think?
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Three things, and I'll make it really quick. Number one, can I speak directly to Mr. Nakai?
Yep, he's on the line.
I love your music. I've loved it for a long time. Your Mythic Dreamer and your Music as Medicine get played by me a lot, and I use them as medicine. So I love your music, and I really, number two, I really believe that music and the arts in general, you know, poetry and dance and good writing, they're not just ornamental. I believe that they are mental health, they're emotional health, and they can really transform us. They're really spiritual. And then the third thing is that I'm a yoga instructor here in town, and I have been, and I'll burn a cut or two of your music into one of my mixed CDs for a class. And I have had more than once a student, you'd never believe the people, they'll just come up once in a while, a person will come up and say, "Was that Carlos? Were you playing Carlos?" So you'd be surprised who recognizes your music.
RC,
thank you so much for your beautiful art.
Thank you very much for your call, Jennifer. RC, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think in Jennifer's commentary that we all carry the history of hearing this sound. Every culture on the planet has had flutes, which came after the human voice, you know, and the chanting and the renditions of the historic, let's say mythic, not mythical, but mythic histories of tribal communities worldwide. Then we needed to find a way to make them part of our social world, so then the flute came as a matter of course. And so I think when people hear the sounds, especially the way I produce them, because it's I try to imagine myself actually chanting, just like in the piece that just finished, standing, you know, outside my doorway here and waiting for the twilight to begin and then starting that chant very softly, it would be just the way the vocal music would sound. And so we've all heard that before. And I think people respond to that readily because I've been there before. I've heard that sound before, and I know where it's coming from. So I think it's a reflection of their own soul when I perform these particular pieces.
Thanks, RC. Jennifer, enjoy your CD. Let's go ahead and bring in another caller. We got Brian on the line in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. And Brian, you got a question for us?
Yes, ma'am. Thanks, Tara, for the broadcast today. It's always wonderful. And Mr. Nakai, love your music. My question for Mr. Nakai is, he's had such wonderful and beautiful tone throughout the years. I'm wondering who his primary flute maker is, and have you always used this flute maker throughout the years? And if so, do you have a particular favorite key that you play in?
All right, Brian, thank you for your call. Great question. RC, take it away.
Yeah. The particular sounds took me a while to, let's say, originate. I began working with Oliver W. Jones in La Jolla, California, who learned from some of the old traditional flute makers in Oklahoma. And he made flutes for Doc Tate and Doc Tate's sons and Tom Mochati Ware. And he said, "Here, try these." And we traded, I think at that time we were at the Santa Fe Indian Market, we traded for some moccasins. And I said, "Well, I don't know what these things do, but sure, I'll get two of those from you, the ones that sound good, and then you can have the pair of moccasins that we've made." Well, unbeknownst to me, I traded for two of the traditional tunings. That was in the key of E and the key of B flat. And I continue to use those two tunings today, but in their minor range. You know, the natural minor scales of the of B flat and E. And those are the actual tunings of the woodlands and then the southern plains tribes. When I began, of course, all I had were the two tunings from Doc Jones, and then I went to a performance in Grand Junction, Colorado, where supposedly all the flute players in the U.S. of Native heritage would show up, but there was me and Ken Light, a Native American from Arley, Montana, who had just started making flutes. And I approached him and said, you know, do you think you can make me some flutes in these tunings? And since that time, I continue to obtain flutes from him. And so he was my very first flute maker. And I've since branched out a little bit, and I work with a man in Texas near Dallas by the name of Butch Hall. And so those two people, I would say, are the ones that I work with the most. And then the Doc Jones flutes, of course, are part of my very special collection of instruments that I began with.
Thanks for that journey. And you know, it's always interesting to hear the different places that, that get connecting through the music, and especially when we think about the instruments and the lives of the people who created it. It's a great intersection and always interesting to hear kind of that backstory. I'm glad our caller asked that. Again, I want to remind you that today is our January Music Maker, and we are featuring the sounds of the album Canyon Trilogy. We're sharing it with you today. Phone lines are open if you'd like to share your thoughts on this, or if you'd like to ask RC a question, you can. Just call in 1-800-996-2848. We got another caller we're bringing in. Let's go to Hayward, Wisconsin. We're bringing in Jackie, who is tuned in to WOJB. And Jackie, what do you think about the music?
Well, thank you, and I volunteer here at the station, and I was just leaving. I decided to call. I'll make this quick. But I spend a lot of time outdoors skiing. I ski the American Birkebeiner 35 miles, so I'm alone a lot outside. And that last piece you just played just reminded me of the great outdoors. Plus, I meditate, and I think your music is very meditative. And I'm going to use it to start my show as my theme from now on, because it clears the air of all the news and everything that we are bombarded with. So I'm just really excited now you've gotten me into a new format, and I'll use your CD that I'd be sent.
All right. Enjoy that, Jackie. Let's go ahead and bring in another caller. We got Bonnie in Pocatello, Idaho, tuned in on KISU. Bonnie, go ahead. You're on air.
Oh, thank you for having me on the program. I found your music profoundly deep. I love the healing flute, and it's a beautiful snowy morning here, and thank you. Thank you for your program.
All right, Bonnie, great to hear from you there in Pocatello. Again, you can reach out to us, 1-800-99-NATIVE. We are on social media, too. So if you're in a place where you can't make a call but you still want to tell us something, send us a tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. We're on Twitter, and we're also on Facebook. You can send us a comment there, too. And, RC, tell us a little bit about that song we heard. I know you touched on it briefly, but anything else you'd like listeners to know about it?
Well, the format, of course, is, you know, even though it's a modern tune that I compose, the format is very traditional, you know, starting out with your morning call and then breaking it down into, you know, usually they would say, yo, yo, ho, ya, na, we are. No, we are, we are, yeah. No, we are, no, we. And it would continue on and on. And I said, you know, I really love that sound, especially when you hear it by elders, you know, who are doing their chants either outside the tipi or the hogan or the house, even in town, you know. And you go, wow, that's so neat. And so I thought, well, let me make a morning chant for myself. And this is my prayer for the morning star. And looking at Venus and then wishing you know, good things for all the people that surround me in my community and all the animals and plants and those things that make my life possible. You know, I just followed that format very closely. And then the second part of the melody, when there was a little break, it's sort of like, oh, and I also want to include this prayer. So it's like you would say, well, I'm also going to say the rest of this prayer, and it has this and that. And then the last part is a final movement of that particular song that sort of brings everything together. And if I were doing it in a traditional manner, it would be, I'm going to talk about the time when we emerged from this place, or we came to this place, and this is what we brought with us. And so it's sort of like putting myself back in the center of my own existence, of being a human being, being a member of a cultural community or a society, which I live in today in Tucson. And there's just a whole mixture of the world community that surrounds me and how we're so fortunate to be here in this world at this moment. You know, and it just goes on and on and on. So I have to create one song, and then I have to do another one that will include more of this philosophy that I carry inside of me.
Well, we're glad that you have continued over the years, and it's exciting to be taking a look at this particular album. There's a lot to celebrate on it. We're going to be sharing more of the album with you here on the program after the break. But again, if you just tuned in, this is Native America Calling, and each month we take a moment and we put the spotlight on music that is coming out of Native America, and we invite the musicians behind the music to come on and tell us a little bit about what we're hearing and the spirit behind the work. So you're hearing some of that today here. We are featuring the album Canyon Trilogy by Mr. R. Carlos Nakai, and he's with us here on the program. We're going to hear more of those tracks, but again, our phone lines are open if you'd like to join us and tell him what you think about the music, or maybe what his music has meant to you over the years. You can call in and share. 1-800-996-2848 is the number to reach us. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we're going to continue to take your calls through the break, and we'll also be right back. In many language classes, you see games and videos and hear songs. Students learning their native language also have lots of fun with these interactive materials too. Many tribes are using new methods and technologies to make sure the next generation is speaking their language. Join us for the next Native America Calling as we learn more about fun ways to learn language.
The circle of life is a powerful force. Keep your circle healthy by getting a flu vaccine. Pregnant women, young children, elders, and anyone with health conditions like diabetes and heart disease are especially vulnerable. Your flu vaccine protects me. My flu vaccine protects you. Together, let's protect the circle of life by getting vaccinated. Learn more. Call 1-800-232-4636 or visit cdc.gov/flu.
When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support Native America Calling. Just use Pick, Click, Give, and select KNBA-FM, Kewaunik Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska. Support provided by Raven Alaska, connecting Alaskans across the state for more than 50 years. Find out more at flyravn.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood, and today is our January Music Maker, featuring the sounds of R. Carlos Nakai and his album, Canyon Trilogy. And if you like what you're hearing, call in and tell us about it. We are giving away his music also on the program today. All you have to do is be one of the first 10 callers to make it on air with your comment, or if you got a question, you can ask, and you'll get a CD compliments of Canyon Records. So again, the number 1-800-99-NATIVE. And on the line with us today from Tucson, Arizona is award-winning Native musician R. Carlos Nakai, and he is with us. I want to welcome him back into the hour. Welcome back, R.C.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And we're enjoying our time with you here today. And anything else you'd like to share with us about this album? We're going to start giving some more tracks here, some of the newer releases, the unreleased ones that are making this album a little special. Anything else you want to share about the importance this album has had to the music that, you know, in your life, I guess?
Well, you know, when I began, there were three recordings before this one. And Changes, of course, was the very first and my favorite. And it had a majority of the recordings that heralded back to the traditions as they were before the reservation period began in the 1800s. But, you know, of course, much of that is no longer with us. And then the other two were attempts at trying to find a way to find that niche where I could begin to insert the sounds that I was producing in a way that would not forsake the older culture and its ways, and also to remind myself of I'm a part of that history too, because those people suffered and died to make me possible today. And so I owe a lot of responsibility to ensuring that what we do today continues to carry on into tomorrow. And so in thinking about it, I traveled to different places where Native people had died, some like, you know, in places like Sand Creek in Colorado, where Black Kettle and a number of people in his band were all sitting there under the American flag, and then they took, you know, advantage of all of that and got rid of them because we were in the way. But the problem is we're never in the way, because now people are trying to want to learn about us, learn about our ways, learn about this and that, and want to be like us. But the problem is you have to be within your own cultural context. So when I traveled, you know, I also went to significant places like the Grand Canyon, Canyon de Chelly, the tops of mountains, you know, and places in Colorado and around the Four Corners area, and started thinking, what would a Native person living here in the old days, wearing the clothing of the old tradition, what would they sing to this environment? How would they express themselves about being alive in that space at that time? And how can I capture that with my impressions and then play my impressions on this flute of being in that particular, as they say, sacred environment? And so that's where this whole project came about, you know, and looking at things and looking into myself and looking out at the world as it exists today and realizing that being someone of culture and being someone who still remembers much of the old story is to put yourself at ease all the time. Like Jennifer said earlier, doing yoga and teaching meditation, it's all of that, you know. I mean, Natives, we didn't walk around looking for food all the time. We also spent a lot of time teaching our young people how to meditate and how to be at peace with themselves. And so, you know, that, I guess, essentially is how this album came about.
Well, it's our pleasure to be sharing it with folks. And again, we're going to go to the phone lines. We have Christina on the line with us today in Fairbanks, Alaska, tuned in online. And Christina, what would you like to tell RC?
I would like to say thank you for making music for a spiritual purpose and a purpose to, you know, keep our culture going, your culture going. And I'm Alaskan native. I'm Mexican from California, and I'm only 18, and I feel so, you know, spiritually connected from my ancestors, and I do grassroots environmental organizing, and it gets hard, but it's all about the connection we have to people and the art, and I look forward to getting your album. Thank you.
Christina, thank you for your call. RC, anything you want to share with Christina?
Well, you know, my people, we call ourselves down here Diné, and that's one of the tribal communities I belong to. But in Alaska, we call ourselves Diné. And, you know, our headquarters is near Alyeska. Up there, you know, about northeast of Anchorage. And I visited up there, and I was really surprised to find that they speak the same language that these people down here do. Of course, the Apaches have the traditional real language of the Diné. And, and I'm also a Spaniard, and my last name is the name they gave those people. It means wanderers. And when I was traveling around, I met some Crow historians, and they said, you know, it's all the same culture. Because we go down to Mexico to visit the little people, and many of them are our ancestors and relatives, and we talk and we come back here and impart the stories to the rest of the community. And he said, you know, the thing is that you have to always remind yourself that you are part of a community that's ongoing, and that we all live in one huge world of experience, and it's the experiences that are quite important. So I always think about that, you know, and I always realize that many people would like to be like us. And the thing is they forget, though, is they have their own cultures, too. And they need to remind themselves of what it means to belong, to be, as we say, one of the people, you know. And it's a responsibility, but it's also something I think that brings up a whole lot of good feelings in oneself. And so I would say find the music, use it to dream by and remind yourself of how you are as a human being of culture.
Christina, thank you for your call. We got another one on the line. Let's go ahead and bring in Deb in Taos, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Deb, go ahead. You're on air.
Hey, thank you. This is such an honor and a privilege of being part of this program. Carlos, I first heard your music in the early 90s, and I can't say or thank you enough for your amazing work. You've had a profound influence on my paintings. And it's seriously some of the most beautiful music I've ever heard. I love your world music collaborations. Your music is such a wonderful gift to the world. And I congratulations on your as being a successful ambassador of indigenous cultures. Thank you so much.
All right, Deb, thanks for your call there in Taos. Let's bring in another. We got Bruce in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Bruce, go ahead.
Yes, also a pleasure. Carlos, I heard you in Albuquerque just a few months ago, and I was shocked, being new to your music, to hear Native Hawaiian chanting that I recognized. And I wanted to know what some of the connections were musically that drew you to the Polynesian culture as well, and to begin to initiate some of those sounds into your music.
All right. Go ahead, RC.
Well, you know, I was stationed in Pearl Harbor and Message Center Makalapa years ago. And in that time, I also traveled around in the local communities because many of the people there said, oh, you're not American Indian, you're just one of the local boys. We know who you are, and we know where you live right over there. And he said, quit lying about being somebody from Arizona. So I had pictures and all kinds of stuff, you know, of my family and of our tribal communities and stuff. But, you know, it just went on and on. I started delving more and more into it because there were other people who were also looking at, who were indigenous people, looking at the origins of culture and cultural communities throughout the planet. And I found that actually when I look back and listen to the old stories of my cultural communities, each one of them, that we actually originated eons ago, like more than 30 to 40 to 50,000 years ago in Polynesia, after the early cultures migrated out of India and then down into, you know, places like New Guinea and Australia, and then out into the ocean. And then some floated across over to South America around Chile and left behind markings that this is where we've gone. And I've been following that history ever since. So every time I go back to Hawaii now, I always introduce myself to people in concerts and in social situations as, oh, it's really good to come back and visit with you, my grandmothers and grandfathers. They go, what are you saying? I say, well, this is where American Indian communities originated from. And like a lot of the visual arts and things that are done by natives today, you can find in South America, and you can find all the way down to the Antarctic in the Polynesian communities down there. And the songs and traditions, you know, everything is there. I approached a friend of Keola Beamer's, who's one of their what they call Hanai brothers, or adopted brother, that his mother, Nona, had adopted because he was earnestly learning the language. And I said, I have this beauty way chant that comes from one of my tribes. I want you to translate it into Hawaiian. And so he did so, and that's the chant that I did when I was up performing in Albuquerque that one weekend. And I do it quite often now because it just feels so good to be able to chant in three languages, in the American language, in the Diné language, and in the Polynesian language, about being in the world. And so that's where a lot of that came from. But it's the connection over time that we are all from out in the middle of the ocean. We call it like the mother. It's like the waters of the womb where we come from, you know, and we're born out of that sea into this outer world, and then we learn to survive here.
All right, thanks for that. And it's interesting just hearing the different connections, especially when we have music, of how it, you know, brings different nations together. And, you know, you're bringing in many people to the hour today, RC, with your music. Let's go ahead and give them some more. We're going to share the track now, Images in Sound, off of the album Canyon Trilogy. And it is our featured music this month, our native music maker spotlight with R. Carlos Nakai. He's on the line with us today. Again, you can tweet us your thoughts. We're on Twitter, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and jump into Images in Sound. Thank you. And you just heard our Carlos Nakai off of his album Canyon Trilogy, and it is our featured music this month. Let's go back to the phone lines. I want to hear more from Native America. Let's go ahead and bring in Pearl, who is in Santa Fe, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. And Pearl, what would you like to tell us?
I just wanted to say thank you for this beautiful music. And I just want to let him know that my 9-year-old grandson loves the flute, and I would just love for him to have the CD. He had a hiccup in the road when he was first born, and when he hears flute music, he just sucks the whole thing up. So blessings to you, and safe travels.
All right. Thank you for your call, Pearl. Let's go to Fort Defiance, Arizona now. We're going to bring in Yolando, who is on the line. Yolando, go ahead. You're on air.
Yate, Carlos. Yeah. And just want to say thank you for all the wonderful music you've brought to us, let us enjoy. And then also, I recently have a nephew who started making flutes. And I don't know how he goes about it, but he's making flutes and selling them around the area. And something that you would want to say to him about his flute making. And then the last thing would be, I don't know if you remember a picture that I seen with you, Fleming, and Pat Quiver. You guys put on your regalia at the intersection, headed to a powwow, and everybody was taking a picture of you guys at the intersection. So thank you very much, and I'll talk to you real soon, RC.
All right, Yolando, thank you for your call. RC, any thoughts for the young flute maker?
Yeah, follow your dream. That's probably the simplest way to do a long explanation. We're all born into the world with an idea of what we're going to do in this next experience. And, you know, sometimes we just fall right into what we're supposed to be doing. But what it's going to show you will come at a later time. It doesn't all come at once, you know. So I think that's the very best thing to say. Follow your dream.
Thanks for your call, Yolando. Let's go over to Anchorage, Alaska now. We're going to bring in Michael, who is tuned in on KNBA. And Michael, welcome to the hour. What would you like to share with us?
Hi. I just want to say thank you very much for the interpretation and philosophy in your music. I work with a children's therapeutic group, and we use the music for relaxation. I think it's really helpful also to kind of introduce them to other cultures so that kids aren't needed by birth can learn a lot, so I appreciate it a lot.
All right, Michael, thank you, and enjoy that CD, especially sharing it with those young generations. It's encouraging to hear that a lot of people are excited to share this music with young people. What do you think about that? Do you think more young people need to have some flute music in their life? Send us an email. Send it to comments@nativeamericacalling.com. RC, we still have time. Let's go ahead and give them some more music. Tell us a little bit about Place of Emergence, Sipope.
Well, that came actually from being over in the world's highest and largest alpine valley, and that's over at the San Luis Valley in southern Colorado. And for the Utes and for some of the Pueblo-dwelling people of the Rio Grande, they say that there used to be a place where a ladder came out of the ground, and that's where all the people emerged from that are here today. And so they call it Sipofe. There are a lot of pottery ideas that come from that opening, you know, and you have seed pots and all kinds of other small things that emulate the story of the Sipofe. So that's where it comes from. It's a place of emergence where all people came from. And it could mean, it could be an illusion of coming out of the doorway into this world, which is the womb of the mother, you know.
And here's that track now. This is Place of Emergence, Sipope, by R. Carlos Nakai.
Thank you.
NRC, we are listening to a great song here. We are getting close to the end of the hour, and just want to give you a moment if there's anything you'd like to share with us about how the music can influence our lives. Go ahead, RC.
Well, much of the music, especially in this recording, talk a little bit about belonging to community, realizing how we are responsive to all of that and the social and personal organization and what we do in the everyday world. But the most important component, of course, is realizing either the female or male community that one belongs to, and the responsibility and the self-reliance that we need to do as we're moving through the world to allow ourselves to develop a sense of self-respect rather than pride, but self-respect for, you know, making those things possible so that others can survive better in the world as we know it and as they will know it into the future.
All right, R. Carlos Nakai, it has been our pleasure to visit with you, and wishing you the best. Also want to let folks know he's got a concert coming up January 23rd, which is a Friday, 7 p.m., and it is celebrating the platinum sighting of this album, Canyon Trilogy, and it's going to be taking place in Phoenix, Arizona. More information can be found at mim.org. And that's going to do it for today's program. I appreciate R. Carlos Nakai joining us here today, also our staff here at Native America Calling, and also National Native News and NV1. Thank you for all your support. I'm Tara Gatewood. We'll be back again on Monday.
The circle of life is a powerful force. Keep your circle healthy by getting a flu vaccine. Pregnant women, young children, elders, and anyone with health conditions like diabetes and heart disease are especially vulnerable. Your flu vaccine protects me. My flu vaccine protects you. Together, let's protect the circle of life by getting vaccinated. Learn more. Call 1-800-232-4636 or visit cdc.gov/flu.
Are you an experienced journalist passionate about bringing Native issues and perspectives to a wide audience? Have you demonstrated ability to lead radio producers and reporters in best practices to produce programs of the highest broadcast standards? You could be the next executive producer, manager of national programs at Kawanak Broadcast Corporation's Albuquerque-based Annenberg National Native Voice Studios. Find the full job description and how to apply at NativeAmericaCalling.com.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.